Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal and administrative, and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It is Wednesday, June 16th, and this is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. How do we do that? We encourage you to ask questions of us. And the way you can get to us is to send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com, or if you're on our website, the jillonmoney.com website, all you need to do is click on the contact button and we will get your message. That is what Greg did. Hello, Greg. Where are we talking to you from? You can, of course, lie because you can be anonymous if you want. But where would you like us to be talking to you from?
I live in Minnesota, about a half hour northwest of Minneapolis.
All right. So what can we do for you today, sir?
Well, thank you, Jill. I am 60 years old, semi-retired. My wife is 10 years younger. Her plan is to work for about another 3 years. In total, we have about $2.6 million saved in various pension funds, brokerage accounts, IRAs, SEP IRA, a deferred comp that I had from working for the Minnesota legislature for a number of years. And I am converting the pension funds that I had to Roth IRAs. Wondering what suggestions you have for that. I'm a little bit, we're aggressive investors, and we have some pretty expensive plans to travel in our retirement years.
You said that you are semi-retired. How much are you making right now?
Probably about $20,000 a year.
Okay. And how much does your wife earn?
She makes about $160,000.
You said you've got $2.6 million saved. How much of that is pre-tax money?
1.6 of it.
Wow. Okay. That's a big chunk. So she's going to work for 3 more years. Are you going to keep working, you know, take in, you know, 20 something thousand a year, or are you going to call it quits in 3 years also?
I'll probably do a part-time gig of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me some more. Kids, no kids. What do you got?
Kids in college. We have 529 plans that are pretty well funded for them. So I don't feel like unless they go to expensive graduate schools, I think we're pretty well covered there.
Okay. I feel like kids are on their own. If they do that, that's not on you, unless you have tons and tons and tons of money. But really, they got to do that themselves. So I'm taking you off the hook on that. Okay. How about house?
Fully paid for. Probably value is about $375,000.
Okay. And in the plans of, like, we have aggressive travel plans. What are we talking about? How much money are you going to spend? You know, I need to know kind of the what's our target here?
Sure. Well, our plan is to maybe spend a month at a time each year in retirement, living someplace. Mm-hmm. Might be Paris for a month. It might be Costa Rica. It might be Thailand. It might be Australia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would assume that those types of trips are going to run, you know, upwards of 50,000, maybe more.
And what about, like, your other general needs? Like, forget about the travel, what do you think you need to live on?
Oh, on a monthly basis, I would say probably 5,000 to 7,000.
5,000 to 7,000, but you don't have a house. I mean, a payment. That seems like a lot, no?
Well, we do have a vacation home in Florida and a cabin in northern Minnesota.
Oh, you left that out. Okay. The vacation home in Florida and the cabin, how much are they worth?
Vacation home is in Florida is probably about $250,000. The cabin is probably $400,000.
Okay, 250 and 400, and no mortgage on those either?
Correct.
Wow, you got a lot of house there. Is the game plan that you keep those as is, or in retirement, is something going to get sold to help fund this 50 grand a year little habit that you're going to have?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our plan tentatively is to sell the house that we're currently living in. That's got the value above 375. So that would take place when my wife retires.
Okay. So when you said I've got $2.6 million saved, right? And 1.6 is pre-tax. What about just money in non-retirement assets?
We have a pretty healthy savings, emergency savings of about $65,000. You know, other brokerage accounts, checking account, that type of thing.
Okay. So 65 in like liquid assets. And when, again, I just want to make sure I understand this. So all the other money, this 2.6 million, 1.6 being the pre-tax part of this. And in 3 years, when she's 53, will either of you be entitled to a pension?
No, she will be able to get a pension a few years after that, but it'll be very nominal. She has not been in her current position that long. So that'll be, it might be $500 to $700 a month.
I mean, so the idea maybe in the way I'm thinking about it is the house that you sell in Minnesota, whatever you sell it for, that gives you, let's say, 8 years of your fun money, right? You know, 50 grand a year, right? So I'm going to pretend the house you sell for 400 and, you know, it's great. And you got 8 years of travel. So I don't have to worry about that. But I feel like you don't have that much money saved for this next period of time, because if I mean, your wife's really young and you're really young. And so if I consider that, like, from your age 63 and her age 53, even if like the money that you have right now grows to 3 million, okay, that's not a ton of money for your income needs. So what's your Social Security game plan right now?
Goal is for me to take it at the latest at 70 and a half or whatever, whenever I can maximize it.
And what will that be? What will that amount be at your age 70?
It'd probably be about $3,500 a month.
I got to tell you something. I don't think you have enough money to do. I mean, I think all is well. Good. You might have to sell one of these other homes to do what you want to do. I think you're going to have a problem until you get to age 70. It seems to me that there's going to be a lot of heavy duty spending until age 70, essentially. That's like your big time where you want to spend money. And it looks to me, just from the numbers, that you're not going to necessarily be able to do this. So, okay, here's what I do. When I really totally back of the envelope, if I looked at $3 million, and it's not even $3 million because we still have to pay tax on that pre-tax, but let's just pretend you have $3 million, right? And if I say, what will that generate? On a round number, generate about 100 grand a year, okay? That's fine, but that's like not even accounting for weird stuff happening. So it just, it like just kind of gets you there. And if your income need is 70, 80 grand and you're going to be traveling and spending the money from the house, I feel like it's really skinny. I don't know. Like, I almost feel like you could be cutting it close. So how do you make sure that you don't cut it so close? Couple of things. One is that you could sell another property. The other is that you can do your travel goal, but don't do it at 50 grand a year. Maybe do it at 40 grand a year. Or you can say, we're just going to have to spend less money when we're home. Like, our indulgence is going to be this travel thing. But instead of the, you know, the six, you said 5 to 7. So instead of 6 or 7, it's really going to be 5 when we're home. That, I think, will help you get there. But it's narrow, again, because you guys are young. You're really young, which means we've got so many decades in the future of financing your lives. How does that feel when I say, tell you this? Is that a bummer?
Well, no, maybe just a little bit of an eye opener. And I think that your suggestion about cutting back on the monthly expenses, I think, is good. And I think that's very doable.
Okay, great. So you guys, you're managing your own money right now, right?
Yes, we are managing our own money, a variety of Vanguard accounts. And that maybe leads to the second question. I am converting state pension money that I had over to, you know, a broker, an IRA, and then I want to convert that to a Roth. Because of our extensive timeline here and our rather expensive retirement tastes, I'd like to keep that in, you know, equities and not do bonds. And so I'm wondering what your take is on that. It's about $660,000. I'd like to convert over to Roths and take the tax hit on that, and not all at once, but over time. And wondering what your advice is as to staying out of bonds and being more aggressive with stock mutual funds.
I mean, look, that's really rolling the dice. First of all, in the conversion, do you have enough money to pay the tax that's due? I mean, you have some money that's already been taxed. You'd have to have a pile of money to pay the taxes, even if you did it slowly.
Right. And that money does not exist in a separate account or anything. No. But it has to come out of our existing living expenses and existing salaries.
I don't know if I would really, I'm not sure I would make myself so crazy about it, because you have a bunch of money that's Roth money. Okay. And I know that you've been doing it, but like, it would make more sense to wait until your wife is done and she's retired and your income drops way down. And as far as your diversification, you know what I'm going to tell you? You know that I'm going to say I'm uncomfortable with 100% equities. I think that it's more risk than you need. If you do not want to look at the bond market, then that would certainly suggest that if you don't want that, then what you're going to have to do is have some cash on the sidelines, because you can't afford to be 100% equities, because what if we need some of this money and we need to actually get to this money sooner rather than later? And we need to have some money that's in cash. And the problem is cash pays you, peanuts right now. So I would at least, I know you hate, hold your nose, but like, even if you just had an intermediate term bond fund and you put just 20%, that would be a super aggressive portfolio to me. I would still have some bonds in there, just because I know it's not going to give you the same growth. I know that interest rates are rising, but bonds act differently. And there is a real good reason why people like bonds. It's because they provide a fixed stream of income. And as you retire, I think you might want that more and more. I would encourage you to reconsider the bond idea.
Well, thank you. That's some sane advice that I probably needed to hear.
Greg from Minnesota, it has been my pleasure to chat with you. If you want to be like Greg, and who does not want to be like Greg, all you need to do is send us an email. It's askjill@jillonmoney.com. Or if you're on the website, if you're on jillonmoney.com, hit the contact button, and lo and behold, we will get your message. Don't forget to tell us if you'd like to come on the air. That would really be great. As always, we want to remind you to do something nice for someone else today and to think about the good old Jill on Money mantra: grit, growth, grace. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.